Welcome everyone to the Fantasy Trail Running Podcast presented by Running Raccoon Racing, an online coaching service to get you to the 5K all the way up to the ultra marathon distance. For more information, visit runningraccoonracing.org. I'm your host, Jacob Hopkins, and with me, as always, is my partner in crime, or trail running, or maybe both at the same time, depending on what we're up to, Christopher Heberly. How are you feeling after all those hill repeats we did this morning before we decided to podcast?
I'm sleepy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sleepy too,
man. I'm not going to lie. I just kind of want to take a nap.
It's like 1 billion degrees across all of North America.
It really is.
And then we have humidity
here. It's 1 billion in one year.
Yes, that's true. And so we got up super early to do hill repeats. It was fun, but now we're paying the sleepy price.
We are paying the sleepy price, but you know, that's the price you pay for.
That is the price you pay for fitness or fun or something along those lines. I don't know. Speaking of paying the price, a lot of cats paid the price at Hard Rock, right?
Ooh.
What was
spicy this year?
Dropping things. When was that? Just last weekend?
Yeah.
So we're actually doing a recap episode.
Welcome to the recap episode.
there was kind of a possibility maybe we should have done the Speed Goat 50K.
Yeah.
But man, that one's kind of like a weird race where it seems like it's turned into the coming out party for like the next best and greatest runners. And so I just don't really know them good enough.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a lot more homework.
I'm not prepared to do homework right now.
Yeah.
I want to do fun. So we're going to do fun and talk
we're
about
playing with the stuff
Hard Rock.
We know right now.
And I don't know a lot about the aftermath of Hard Rock, but you do. You did some scooping, so
I did do some scooping.
I'm just kind of going to facilitate this this magical journey we're going on. so what do we want to start with, like the women's winners and like that?
We'll talk about some
stories.
Yeah.
Cool. So I think we both nailed it with Courtney, right? We both had. New course record.
New course record.
What was she, seventh overall?
And new overall.
Yeah, I mean.
I think, is counterclockwise harder than clockwise? Is that why that's always
one
a little
is,
bit slower?
Yeah, one is harder than the other. It was funny, I was listening to Mike Wardian talk about it. He's done it both directions.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, whatever year I did it, blah, blah, blah. He's like, that's the hard way. He couldn't even keep it straight. He was like, whichever one that is. He's
whichever
like,
that's the hard one.
And I was like, okay.
Because cool. I noticed that like even on the men's and the women's, both the records are also the overall records
because
the other way is always slower. So
Hard Rock is a weird race, I guess. Before we get into that, like that, where it's not technically a race, it's a run. It's the Hard Rock 100 run. There's not a winner, quote unquote. There is the first finisher. So it's like weird. It's like an old school thing with that.
It feels very old guard.
And it is. And I, you know, some people have been bringing up some good points about like how the lottery system works. Like it favors people who've done it before, and then therefore it's like all the new blood is in doesn't have the same chance.
Well, and it also is very unfavorable towards women representation and all the other things.
And they did better this year. They changed something.
Yeah, they made some minor changes, but they still have a long way to go. But
and I kind of feel for them because it's like this is the thing they kind of wanted to be family, and that's the thing, like when you get in your family, and that's why they've got it set up like that. But just the cultural zeitgeist wants it to be like this big thing, and so it's become a big thing, and so now they have to, like, if you're Hard Rock and you're running Hard Rock, the board, you've got to now accept that, like, okay, it's gone beyond our control.
We all have to go through those growing pains, right?
Yeah, they're kicking and screaming. So I'm looking forward to whatever they do. But let's go ahead and get that. Courtney Dahlwater.
Courtney.
DeWalter, I believe.
DeWalter, what a fucking beast she is.
Correct.
I mean, I love watching her run, mostly because she is such a beast, but she's just fun.
Cheerful. Such a cheerful animal.
She could be absolutely miserable doing something, and she's still, you know, exuding joy in some way.
Bubblegum pop attitude is normally not my flavor,
but it works
with Courtney, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah.
And if you bet it against Courtney, you're an idiot. That's all there is to it. You're an idiot.
Well, I think what I said on the last podcast, in the pre-Hard Rock podcast, was if Courtney's in her element and barring any dietary things causing her to go sideways, there's next to impossible to overtake her.
Yes.
And that proved true. So.
Now, didn't she have something happen in like mile 50-ish where her stomach was getting a little weird?
Yeah. She started getting a little wonky, but then she rallied back and she was fine.
So yeah, that seems to have been happening in the last couple races,
yeah.
But she's like got some sort of liquid nutrition dialed in.
That also is the, I believe that halfway mark is also the peak altitude, and so several people had issues with the altitude this year. So
I think
she just had that minor little stomach issue from that, but otherwise she just cruised right through to
power through. Any stories that we need to know about on that one?
Beast. No. I didn't knew she was going to be unstoppable. She just, there's nothing interesting to report because she just
freaking
crushed that course.
Sometimes what happens when you're so good and you do so well, there's not a lot to say.
I was not to get too far into the other side because we're going to talk about them in a minute, but just the fact that there were, well, three course records broken in this one race. The women's side broke it, the men's side broke it twice. Francois beating his old record.
Yes.
Like, it's just wild. Wild to me.
Different animals, man.
Yeah.
So, how do you want to proceed? Do you want to talk about your number two and where they placed, or do you want to talk about the actual number two?
Let's go through and talk about the actual first.
Okay, let's do that. Hit it up. Who actually finished number two?
Okay, and this is part of the reason why I want to do this, because I really want to talk about this person. Stephanie Case.
Okay, yep. Did not have her at all.
Honestly, didn't really know anything about her
prior
to this race, looking her up for that. Didn't really have a lot of knowledge going in there. After doing some digging on her, I am wildly impressed with this woman.
Hit me with it.
So, scoped out her IG, and she said she was stressed AF about this race. She has always wanted to run Hard Rock because of the aforementioned issues with getting into Hard Rock and the exclusivity. It was like next to impossible that she was going to get in.
Going back to my homie Mike Wardian, he actually talked about like trying to get in the first time. And he's like, that's one thing I like about Hard Rock. He's like, they don't care who you are.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sending in my resume. And they're like, cool, enter the lottery, bro. And he's like, man, he's like, it's kind of wild.
Brutal.
He's like, it's not like any other race. He's like, it don't matter who you are. You just got to go and hope.
She said she had just started a new high-pressure job in the Middle East, had no time to train.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess she had, you know, obviously had her base
Even
training.
Even if you're out there, man, you're training in a billion degrees.
Exactly. She had no time to train for this race. She said that she had taken so much effort just to get in. She had four Tour de Gents, two UTMB runs, and an RDC. I can't remember off the top of my head what that stands for, but it's another really big high-profile European race. All just to get the resume, get the lottery
to
get
in.
Into Hard Rock.
It's like, hey, run all these ridiculous races so that you can maybe get into this one ridiculous race.
So she finally got her ticket into Hard Rock, and then she got this job and had no time to train for it. And then she came in and destroyed this course.
That's incredible.
To come up, wipe everybody else away, and to take second.
Except for Courtney. Who was like 7 hours ahead.
Yes, and that's the thing I was going to mention too, is that she was 7 hours ahead of this woman.
You can't even be mad at that.
Exactly.
You can't even be mad at that,
right?
You're just
going to
be like, okay, that's like,
this is cool.
There's nothing anybody can do about
it. It's
that.
A woman who won overall UTMB.
I mean, right?
Was it UTMB?
She didn't win overall, but she was in the top 10.
No, she won overall of, what was it? There was something she won overall.
Yeah, she's done that a couple times at a couple races. Yeah.
Which is just wild to me. So.
That's the thing. Courtney lines up, bro. It's you get ready. Buckle
you're gonna
up.
Push.
Man.
So anyway.
Men and women, buckle up.
I was super impressed with Stephanie's effort. I think she just laid something out there. She had some demons. She was running away from to run up that hill.
It's a good. I mean, like those other races are great, feather in the cap. But this is another one, like a high finish against stiff competition.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there's a lot of really good talent that she was running against, and
overshot
them all except for Courtney. So.
And the women were like, I can't say for certain, but it seemed like they were going after it because there seemed like there was a lot of blowing up and like some attrition out there.
There was.
So it wasn't
there
like
was.
A, let's just all take it easy and hope for the best. It was like, no, we're just going to have a race.
The women's side had some drama.
Right.
Like, just from the where we expected people to place and versus what happened.
For sure.
Definitely some things that happened on that side. So
who came in after Stephanie? Give me third place.
Third place was Hannah Green.
Hannah Green. Man, put her as the dark horse, and that was a mistake.
She did better than I think she anticipated.
I feel like anytime you do like podium at Hard Rock, well, there's not a podium, but you know what I mean. It's probably better than what you thought.
She even said, she said she felt in rough shape from the very beginning. Like she started the race not feeling good, and then still powered through it.
So terrible.
I mean, and from what I understand, it looked like she was sort of threatening to take second for quite a while, and then Stephanie just sort of pulled ahead, but
Bill difference.
So it very impressive effort from Hannah Green. She crushed it. That was very good.
I actually know who number four is.
Darcy Pichu.
I had her at number three. I was so close.
Her in number two. I really thought she could do. She said she really. She put it all out there. I thought she had that higher place in her, but she still had a very gutsy finish to take fourth, especially with what was happening ahead of her.
Right. So. Now, if I'm not mistaken, when I was looking up at the as live as you can get updates from the iRunFar accounts, it seemed like for a while there was like an actual race between her and that and stuff. Like, it's like, oh, okay, this is getting interesting.
I mean, it was definitely a dogfight there for a while for a lot of the. That whole like pod of women in that section, it was anybody's guess how that was going
to
shake out.
You didn't get a chance just to ease off and take it easy for a minute.
It's actually kind of like some of those track races in that way, you know, when they cluster like that, it's like anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. So this time you have to go 100 miles over gigantic mountains. Exactly. No big deal. All right, who hit, where are we at? Fifth?
We're in fifth with, we were doing the actual, Megan Hicks.
Nailed it. I nailed that one.
Same.
Nailed it.
Same. I had Megan in fifth. She performed exactly how I hoped, but seems like she put everything out there to get this finish placement. Big gutsy kudos. Interesting, Corinne Malcolm was pacing her.
Ah, that's fun.
That
was fun. I didn't get a chance to look at everybody, but it's so funny when you look at these top athletes especially, and like you get a chance to see them with like pacers. It's always somebody you know.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, there's another fun story.
Must be nice to like, you know, have like just like super awesome pacer friends.
It's like right out of Jamal Mosley was like pacing you.
Happened last year actually. So all right, that's the women's. Do you want to talk about real quick? Let's go through
the picks.
Yeah, how you did on the picks.
Let's hear it. So I had Courtney, obviously.
Nailed that.
Had Darcy in second.
Okay.
We obviously know she finished in fourth.
Yes.
I had Maggie Goodrell in third. Her race kind of blew up a little bit.
Yes.
She struggled in a couple areas, slugged it out to get the finish. But that's what she ended up doing. I said she had a great quote on her Instagram, and then I forgot to pull it up. So, she's the only one I don't have. She just seemed like, she just put her hard effort out there and
did what she could.
Managed to get the finish done. She's a super strong runner. So, and then I had it was Debbie Livingston.
Yeah,
had her in fourth.
Same.
Her race blew up.
Yep.
She. I don't know if you saw this part, but she was vomiting for 12 hours.
Yes, I heard about this.
And then finally had to throw in the towel, which I can't imagine.
I mean, it's just pure dehydration on top of dehydration, right? And then you continually dehydrate yourself. It's like,
I just couldn't imagine trying to eat, pushing it through 12 hours. I'd have been like 2 hours and be like, all right, I'm done.
I mean, yeah, it was only a couple hours of like, just like that intense of dehydration before you're like, man, it's too much.
She said it was pretty intense. It wasn't like just a little like stomach upset. This is full blown vomiting. So yeah, poor. I really felt bad for her because I was hoping for big things for her, but anyway, wasn't to be. But hopefully she'll be back next year. I was following on her IG where she was talking about that, and seemed like she was obviously bummed about it, but
sure.
Good spirits to maybe continue on and
go again.
in the
this
near future.
This one-off thing didn't, like, throw exactly, her off from the rest exactly, of her race. Exactly, yeah. So.
And then I, of course, had Megan in fifth, so locked nice. That in. And how'd you do?
So I keep throwing this pin on the floor is what I keep doing. I bookended. Anyways, my first and fifth wins. Whatever that is. You can imagine a bookcase with bookends. There it is. That's the phrase I'm looking for. I nailed that one, so... got Courtney. Boom. That was a pretty much a gimme, though. If you didn't take that layup, then, man, that, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yes,
yeah, that's your layup, bro. I had Maggie Gutierrez.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, second. Ended in 11th. That's still a great finish for her.
Oh, absolutely.
Bad finish for me.
Yeah.
Darcy, I'm pretty happy with that. I was one spot off. I had her in third. She came in fourth. I can live with that. That's pretty It's pretty good. Once again, Debbie with you.
Yeah.
That sucks, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Really and then Megan, there's my other bookend right there.
We did solid.
It's not bad. Yeah. It did not, was not solid enough to do very well in the overall game.
Yeah.
But I feel good about how I landed and how
I
hit.
Two locked picks and a floating pick in both the men's and the women's.
Oh.
Identical good for you, dude. To the Western States where I had 2-1.
Yeah. So, actually, now I'm looking at mine, same. It just. Wasn't enough to get the points I needed to do
clearly,
anything, you know?
Clearly.
So, but that's the fun of this. So let's move over to the men's then.
All right.
This was I don't think it goes without saying, and we talked about it in the pick podcast, is that this was one of the most anticipated races on the men's side of, like, any race of all time because you've got goat versus goat.
I was so looking forward to this race.
Goat versus goat.
And it worked out better than I ever could have anticipated.
I mean, it was pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet. Like, the real winners here are the fans.
Yeah, exactly. I really actually love the fact that, also, that we had talked about before about possibly maybe Killian and Dakota were working on a little, like...
Sure. Right.
...pod system there. But what I really love is that Killian and Francois were basically... They basically ran the whole race together.
Yeah.
They just basically were, like, on a long run together.
Just hanging out.
And then decided to race the last, like...
Having a good time. Yeah.
5 miles.
I mean, when you're that talented and you can put pressure on everyone else while having fun, do it. Go have fun.
And they set a dual world record.
I mean, right?
Course record.
Course record.
It's just insane. Just insane.
I mean, when you're Killian and Francois, though, it's like hard to find someone who can, like, legit run with you.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
over those kinds of terrains and distances. Absolutely. So, you know, when you've got each other, it's got to be a lot of fun for those guys.
Absolutely.
So, also, Killian, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love the fact that they sort of complemented each other in their race strategies, because we know Francois is a much more studious runner. Yeah. He's more even, all that.
Quite the tactician.
And Killian's more of the just go do big things.
Right. Free spirit, man. Let's go play.
And it's like they sort of worked together and, like, melded together to create.
Jump off of rocks and stuff.
Yeah, they Voltroned to combine their powers and... come away with the records.
So I think we both nailed that one. Number one and two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Killian 1 and 2, solid.
Francois.
Solid locks. And I, again, feel like if you didn't at least pick those two in the top two, you probably...
Right. This was your layup. It's like maybe layup. It's like a little toss-up to get one and two, but like that's the order. And it played out basically like we thought. And Killian did exactly kind of what I thought, which was he was going to go out, and he was going to go after a record.
Yeah.
And he nailed it.
I mean... Yeah, we knew that was going to happen. So
yeah,
I was just so happy to see that happen and be a part of the analysis going into that race. It was
correct.
Just so fun. So
then it started getting a little wonky. So the actual, not our picks, but the actual third place male was
Dakota.
Your dark horse. My dark horse. No, I actually had Dakota in fourth. So
oh, for some reason I thought you had him. Did you switch after we talked?
No. That was all locked in beforehand.
Who was your dark?
I want to say it was Nick Curry.
Okay.
Who also had a great race.
He did have a great race. Not quite as great as I had hoped he would.
Sure, for sure. And also not as great as Dakota. But
yeah, so Dakota came in third. He interesting note about that. He said he came out of the last aid station in third. On Kyle Skaggs's splits.
Ooh, yeah.
Kyle Skaggs was his inspiration for running Hard Rock.
Okay, that's cool.
It was like when he first heard about the race, he was watching Kyle Skaggs get his world record. Or his, I keep saying course record. Getting his course record. And so he came out of the third aid station on Kyle's splits.
Ooh.
And Kyle was pacing him.
No, I was gonna say, I thought one of the skags was out there running.
I thought that was a cool little note. So
you were talking about like Peloton Tour de France bicycle thing.
Yeah.
I was super stoked because you see this a lot in cycling, but we don't really see it as much in ultra running. Whereas like when you're cycling with some guys that you know are stronger than you, faster than you, like just if it's gonna come down to the line and you're with these dudes, you're not gonna win. These guys will go on an attack. They'll try to go punchy, get a big enough gap so that they can maybe hold strong and sneak out a win.
Yeah.
Dakota went for it.
He did.
He pulled one of those. I don't remember seeing this too often in the ultra runner world where, like, one of the top guys will just shoot his shot a la breakaway style. He did it. He gapped Francois and Killian pretty hard.
He did.
And I was like, oh, shit. Are we about to see something crazy? Yeah, I was like, dude, I was like... We're about to see something incredible, but as often happens in cycling, these very strong individuals knew exactly what they need to do to reel you back in.
They were just biding their time.
They just leave him out there by himself and slowly pull him in. But still, I love the attitude, and I hope we see more of that kind of tactical racing in ultra.
It was just so fun to watch that. It adds this element of drama.
It does. Because it's like, now it's like, can Dakota hold on?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, like...
I think that was probably in his head, too.
I mean, yeah, he's got... But, you know, he knew he needed to do something.
Yeah.
Live big, bro. And I'm happy that he was able to not blow up and keep
still
his third.
Hold on to third. Yeah, because John Kelly was creeping up... Or, wait.
Yeah, John had a hard day. Don't rub the salt in the wound, bro.
Yeah, it was John Kelly.
He was
really coming on strong there, right? Towards the end, and then just blew up.
He blew up. He came back, had a little bit of blow up. I mean, he's John Kelly. He's a tough dude.
I've got notes about that.
Yeah, cool. fourth overall.
Fourth overall was Daniel Young.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be said. And I knew this when we were doing our picks, that I wasn't putting the respect on his name that it deserved. But, like...
Clearly.
I'm trying to win this game by, like, having bold picks because crazy things can happen because it's ultra running. Like, why just go down the list and pick, like, all the people? And I knew, like, leaving him off was a risky gamble. And guess what? It bit me.
I honestly didn't know a lot about him before coming into this, him either. But clearly, his name definitely deserves recognition. We're certainly going to be paying attention to him moving forward. I didn't really get a lot of notes on him.
It's a lot of European racing.
Yeah, a lot of European racing.
I mean, I should have put two and two together and realized that European racing always does well in hard rock.
Yeah.
But for some reason, my brain goes, nah.
Yeah.
I was too much in Western States mode where it doesn't always translate.
Right.
In hard rock, it does translate.
Hard rock translates very well.
Very well.
So, yeah, he came in, he was fourth, did obviously very, very good. And then lastly was Jeff.
Jeff
Browning.
Bronco Billy. Yeah, buddy.
And not a ton a lot to report on him either. He just put in his effort that he does. And
does it a lot, man.
Does it very well.
Was this like his sixth or something?
I think it was sixth or seventh.
Yeah. Like, this is just a race he likes to do. And it's kind of silly that, like, you know, we have our, like, end-of-the-year 50K we always do. It's the same race. We love to do it.
Yeah.
This is Bronco's Billy version, but it's, like, benchmark insane, race. Dude. Yeah, like, insane race. And it's good to see that...
His first one was in 2007.
I mean, my man's been around for a minute. It's good to see, as he ages, he's still holding on, you know, throwing it down for us older dudes. And,
it's
consistent, dude. That's a consistent racer right there.
It's really good to see. See, he has a really great personality about it, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Constant
hard effort, you know?
I think he knows now he's at the point where, like, his top end on these things isn't going to be like these other guys.
Yeah.
But he's consistent, so anything can happen. All he has to do is go out and just see.
Well, it's like we talked about at Western States. Like, sometimes you're was that Tyler Green?
That race within yourself.
So methodical race, and if you hold that line, just hope the higher-ups... Blow up and you can take that place.
And hey, fifth at Hard Rock, man.
Exactly.
I would take it
exactly.
All day, every day.
I mean, solid.
All right, so we know for a fact that our one and two was Killian and Francois. Was there anything that you wanted to add to that as far as your picks?
I actually had Jeff in third.
Okay, so third, you had Jeff.
Yep, I had Jeff in third.
That wasn't too far off.
It wasn't, and I just honestly, I wasn't expecting to go to Dakota to do what he did.
Sure.
And barring that, I also didn't really, like I said, have the respect on Daniel Young's name. I honestly just really thought he was going to slide in.
He's got the experience, right?
He does. That was the other thing. I was like, he's been here before. He knows the course. Like, he's a lock. But
I mean, I threw my Hail Mary with the John Kelly.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I like John. Like, it's a possibility. You can't say no, that it's not possible. So I threw that Hail Mary. He did have some real bad struggles. But man, like, there was a couple of videos of him leaving aid stations looking wrecked.
Well, so apparently he was alone by himself for 50 miles.
But that's like, that's just like the
day at the office. In an FKT,
yeah, that's just the day at the office for John Kelly.
Yeah, and he was locked in fifth for 50 miles all by himself. Said he got dehydrated going up a big steep incline and then hit altitude, started vomiting himself, so he had a vomiting issue. This is wild, though. He dropped down to 20th
at one point. He was basically out of the picture of talking about anything.
And then rallied back up to 10th. Or 11th overall.
The 10th general position, yeah.
Just massive, good, solid, come-from-behind effort. So
yeah, you could definitely see that fight back that he had. It's like, okay, there's John. Yeah. So, you take some of those little issues out that might happen. We might have been talking about John Kelly top five. I really do think. I mean,
I really think so.
That dude's a tough dude, tough kid.
I think he had actually said, let me see, where is that? Oh, yeah. My race obviously wasn't his plan, but I would rather my kids see me get knocked out cold and fight back from it than to see me cruise effortlessly to a higher place finished. Achievements aren't just measured by outcomes. They're measured by the journey to reach them. It's like, hell yeah, that's the job.
I mean, this is a do hard things kind of dude.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
I like it. Makes sense.
He's got that energy.
Fourth place. Your fourth pick, I should say.
My fourth place was Nick Corey. This was wild to see, just seeing Nick and Jameel running the same race at the same time.
Brothers, brother really versus brother. Cool.
And Jameel, he's not anywhere on these lists of any kind, but he performed wildly better than I was expecting.
Dude, Jameel, I know we've talked about it. I've said it to other people. If Jameel didn't have his hands in a thousand different fires and stuff going on,
he could be a Killian.
I think he would be a competitive dude. I really do. I think he can show up to these races and be competitive.
100%.
Because
100%.
I don't know how he gets anything done with as much projects. So he's making videos. He's doing race stuff with the Air Vipa. He's running races. He's trying to train. He's a dad.
Bro. I think you follow his Strava, dude's got he'll do nothing basically for months and then he'll go run a Hard Rock or some shit
He's gotten better about it.
I swear that a lot of his actual activity is actually not, even though he does record a lot.
Sure.
He'll record, when he's actually making, when he's recording video, he's recording his workouts. But I swear there's at least a lot that aren't actually accounted for, because
I mean, he did run a marathon on top of a helipad during lockdown. So this is the kind of person we're dealing with, man. You can't mentally break Jameel. That's not gonna happen.
He's just gonna keep plugging. But yeah, he performed way better than I expected. Nick I forgot to write down what his actual placement was.
You put
was,
too much pressure on Nick, man. That's not fair to Nick.
I the way he had been going, I thought basically his whole essence was aimed at a Hard Rock finish. So I gave him the credit that he apparently was shooting for.
In fairness to you, though, Nick Curry is always going to be that wild card. He may show up to a race and just have fun, take it easy.
Yeah.
He may show up to that race and he may just start smoking everybody. You just don't know with Nick, I don't think. Really, the Curry brothers, I don't think you know what they lined up, what their intentions are. And to be honest, they probably don't even know what their intentions are.
I mean, he's still... Nick finished in eighth.
I mean... Yeah. It's really impressive.
Behind, I gotta know who Luke Nelson is.
It's old Luke Nelson, man.
Never heard of him. But apparently...
Put some spec on that name.
He's pretty badass.
Put some spec on that name. Yeah. So I had Dakota in fourth.
Yeah, Dakota in fourth, yeah.
I was just one off. I feel really good about that. And I almost... I should have done it. I almost put him in third. I just, I was riding that John Kelly hype train so hard. I wasn't even riding it, bro. I was driving it. I was driving the hype train. I
said, you're about the merch.
Dude, I was trying to get, yeah, I was selling t-shirts. I was like, get in this train, man. Come on. I put my blinders on, and I was one place off with that. It felt kind of bad.
That's a solid place to be. Yeah. Solid place to be.
Number five, I think we were both real, real bad on this one.
Yeah, had Coop.
Same, dude.
Had Coop.
That's our men's side Hail Mary that we did.
That really was. That really was.
And you know what? After the Coca-Dona, I will admit, it was slim. It was a slim possibility.
Yeah.
But I went for it. I was like, let's go for it, man. Because, like, I was like, there's not going to be that many people pick Coop for
fifth. Yeah.
I mean, so if I get him, I have a lot of points everyone else didn't get.
I knew his knee was still a little banged up from Coca-Dona. Honestly, I kind of thought that the training and effort for Coca-Dona was going to maybe carry over a little bit.
One would hope.
I thought he was probably in a good place to do a higher finish. I think he probably thought so, too. Sounds like he didn't really elaborate about it too much, but it sounds like some things kind of went a little sideways for him in the race. He had commented about it being a blue-collar effort. He said, like any blue-collar worker will tell you, it's the most rewarding work because you can look back on it and see your accomplishment and what it literally felt like that it took. So.
Okay.
Anyway, he said, you just put your head down and get your hands dirty and get it done.
Fancy way of saying a hard day at the office.
Yep, exactly.
All right.
So it sounds like had some things go sideways. He just chugged along and pushed and still managed to finish in, what did I say, 11th?
I think he finished 17th. Gender position, I think. Maybe
18th overall. Oh, yeah, 18th overall. That's right. Because of that 7-hour gap between
Courtney and Stephanie. Yeah, but say, after you get past a couple of, I think she was 7th overall, so everybody passed that for a long time. Yeah. It's like one place off their gender position because of her.
She was 6th overall.
6th overall. My bad, Mr. Walter. I put more speck on your name, as I did not put enough speck on Danny's name. So.
She was, looks like about 25 minutes behind Jeff.
Silliness.
Girl was blazing. Luke Nelson was 2 hours later, and then Nick was 2 hours after that.
Silliness, bro. Silliness, man.
She just destroys things. It's wild.
I just always, like, could you imagine, like, you know, like some of these races, like UTMB is like probably the biggest offender because it's such a big race, and we'll get into that. Yeah. That'll be the next podcast.
Next week.
Next week, that's true. Because, like, there would be cats taking off, and they're, like, just shooting ahead of these, like, these people. Like Francois and the Courtney. I'm like, is that really the place you want to be right now? Do you really want to start this race in front of them? Like, not me, dude. If I find myself in front of any of those people, which would never happen, I'm going to start asking myself some serious questions.
I think you've made a mistake.
Yeah. Like, you know, errors have been made in your race plan. We haven't even got to mile 3 yet. And you've made some
might
errors.
Be going too hard.
Slow it down, buddy. Yeah. That was an exciting hard rock.
It's like Evan. Just like go out as hard as you can and see how long just you can hold on.
Yeah, it's only 100 miles. You can make it 99 more at this pace, right? Yeah. Over these mountains.
Taking that 5K philosophy to 100.
5K. Take it to 100, baby. Let's go. Don't do that. Don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Any final words you want to say on this edition, the 2022, a very exciting edition of Hard Rock?
Just exactly that. It was a super, super exciting... exciting Hard Rock. It was a fantastic event. Super fun to watch. I wish that they could get a little bit more on the tech train. I think
so hard out there with it being so remote.
Yeah, but Debo and Corinne have really just ruined it for us. Like now, I want I want every race to be like that.
Sure.
I just want them narrating every race.
Dude, I'm willing to say, have you seen the pictures, I'm sure you have, of like the Kroger aid station way the hell up at the toppy top of this like barren mountaintop?
No, I haven't.
Dude, like so they hike up backpack after backpack of supplies and like they're up there making broth and coffee and all these things. Like I think they've had cake up there before and I mean like,
dang.
It might as well be on the moon. It is so remote. And they've got like, you know, like I don't know who normally... camps there, but somebody will camp there so they can, like, you know, have all the stuff. For, and, like, they've got this huge tarp. I believe it's Joe Gray, like, legendary mountain runner Joe Gray is, like, the captain of that aid station. I'm just like, bless you. Bless you, people. I was like, man, we do, like, smaller ultras, and it was, like, it's fairly easy to get to some of these aid stations for like the people in, like,
most of them are, like, off a little,
kind of struggling a little bit. Meanwhile, these people are hiking thousands of feet up this rocky boulder cliff face,
portaging supplies all the way up a mountain.
Lot of love at that race. Lot of love.
Wild. That is wild.
Cool, man. Well, I feel very successful on the picks, even though I didn't do very well.
Me too. Again, I like staying in this zone.
You sniped me again.
I did. Yeah, dude. It's my goal. God. I have one goal, is to beat you.
So far, you're 2 for 2. 2 for 2. So, like I say, we're not covering the Speedgo 50K. I am curious to see what the results are on that.
Yeah, we'll check that out.
That one's always uber competitive.
We'll be back with the UTMB.
Put some names on the list to watch for the future.
UTMB is going to be interesting, because we've got 4 races to cover.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out how we're going to break that down. So,
yeah,
we'll figure that out. Supposedly, I've got, like, a link in this that ads on the podcast, so if you want to send us in a voice message with your pick, your
top picks, fun.
Maybe your top 5 picks, if you can make it kind of speedy, you know, maybe we'll throw that into the episode. I don't know, no promises. I'll see how it is. I'll see how I feel.
Okay. Send in your comments.
Right. Well, I don't know about all that. So. Thanks for tuning in. This was our Hard Rock 2022 edition recap. Thanks for joining us, and we'll hit you next time with some UTMB picks.